The Truth Broadcast program is sponsored by the generous support of our partners and friends and by the ministries of Living Waters Church.
Welcome to the Truth Broadcast with Pastor Dwight Shepherd. On today's broadcast, we'll discover truth from God's Word that brings freedom. So grab your Bible as we join Pastor Dwight now for today's message.
You ready for the Word? I'm ready for the Word. Glory to God. Let's open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. I know you're familiar with this passage. If you haven't heard this passage, I'd be surprised. Jesus is ministering to a multitude of people. He's on a mountainside. It's called the Sermon on the Mount. And after he gave out the Beatitudes, Jesus went on, and in verse 13, he said these words. He said, "You are the salt of the earth, but if salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men." Next verse, "You're the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl or basket, but instead they put it on its lampstand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way," Jesus said, "let your light shine." Let, you hear that? "Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." How many have heard that passage before? Salt and light. Now, I have read that passage, I couldn't tell you how many hundreds of times. I have preached that passage. Many of you probably heard me preach this passage many times, but I'm going to share with you something that I never really saw before this morning. How's that for fresh? That's fresh bread. So when I'm looking at "you are the salt" in verse 13, "you're the salt of the earth," what warning does Jesus give us? He says, "But if salt loses its saltiness, it's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men." And I like to say it this way. You know, if salt loses its saltiness, it loses its purpose. I mean, if you went to your cabinet and you grabbed your salt shaker and you started shaking it out and you tasted your food and it didn't taste salty and you tasted it, it didn't taste salty and you put some in your hand and you licked it, like that salt's not salty anymore. What would you do with that salt? I'd just get rid of it because it doesn't have any real purpose anymore. It's not going to get sweet like sugar. It's just going to be bland salt. It's going to be salt that don't taste like salt. Salt that doesn't affect things like salt does. And so I've always kind of looked at this passage of Scripture in this light. It's like the anointing of my life is saltiness. The presence of Jesus in my life is saltiness. Yes, it's my saltiness, and I agree with that. So what I need to do to keep from losing my saltiness? It's like, well, I need to make sure I live my life in such a way that I'm set apart for Jesus. I need to get rid of the stuff that's trying to crowd Jesus out of my life. It's like, yes, I agree with all that, but watch this. "You're the salt of the earth" is in verse 13. Back up just a little bit to verse 10. Verse 10, "Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice, be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth." You see, it all goes together, doesn't it? Here, I'm going to be honest with you. When I have preached this verse before, I've almost always started right where I started today. "You're the salt of the earth. But if salt loses its saltiness, it's no good." And just go on from there, not backing up to look at what's right in front of it. So here's the fresh bread I've got. I believe that what he's talking about here that's causing that he needed to warn us about losing saltiness is this one thing. He said, if you're afraid of being persecuted, if you're afraid of people talking bad on you, and you let that keep you from being an influence. I mean, no, salt influences everything it touches. Whether we're talking about flavoring or preserving, salt will do it. Before they had refrigerators, they salted their meat, and they were able to eat it. It's almost mind-blowing to my modern mind. I've always ate refrigerated meat. You know, oh, that meat ain't frozen. It's going to rot. No, the salt would preserve it. But not if salt loses its saltiness, it loses its ability to preserve, it loses its ability to flavor. And so in context, what is it that Jesus is really trying to warn us that could cause us to lose our saltiness? If you look at it in context, he said, blessed are you when people persecute you and speak all manner of evil against you because of me. He didn't say you're blessed when people talk trash on you because of what you've done. He said, you're blessed when people talk trash on you because of me in your life. When you're standing up for Jesus and someone wants to come against you because you take a stand for Jesus, you just consider that a blessing. You just consider this, that God is going to watch out. God knows he keeps good score. You realize God keeps good score. I'm going to say it this way. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a person sows, that shall they reap. How many of you know I just quoted you the word of God? It's the truth. People can't treat you bad without God noticing it. And God will make it up to you. Does that mean that something bad will happen to them? Preferably not, because it's not something bad that needs to happen to them. Something bad probably already did happen to them, and that's why they're persecuting you. That's why they're persecuting you, because of your relationship with Jesus, because someone, something has turned their hearts away from the Lord. Otherwise, they wouldn't be persecuting you because of Jesus. If their hearts were drawn to Jesus, they wouldn't be persecuting you for loving Jesus, for speaking up for Jesus, being a light for Jesus, being salt for Jesus, would they? So what is he warning us about? He's warning us, don't let the fear, everybody say fear. Don't let the fear of persecution, the fear of people talking bad about you in our culture today, don't let the fear of them canceling you stop you from being salt and light. How many of you know I'm living this message? I'm not just preaching it. We got to stand up. It shocks me that in America we have so many pastors and so many Christians, especially the more famous and prevalent they are, they don't talk about touchy subjects. But God talks a lot about touchy subjects, doesn't he? God has an opinion about all the stuff that's going on in our culture. But it's not really an opinion when it's God has the truth and everybody else has an opinion. Amen. Think of any really, really famous, nationally known or worldwide known ministers that you know that are just standing up and absolutely just speaking the truth. I mean, they're calling what is evil, evil, and they're calling what is good, good. It's rare. It really is rare. There are not a lot. When we were going through that whole thing and people were being locked down and this and that, whatever, there were a whole lot more people being quiet than there were people speaking up. You know, and in different states, it was different ways. I mean, right here in Western Oklahoma, it almost felt like to me that after just a few weeks, life kind of went back to normal. I mean, sort of normal. But I do want to say this, though. Normal's never coming back, but Jesus is. How many have seen that T-shirt? I like that, man, because that's the truth. The world changed. The world changed. I believe that if we could see a clock in the spirit realm, how many know that a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. He's not limited by time in the way we understand time, but he does have timing. And like when President Donald Trump was the president of the United States, presidents before him had promised to move the U.S. embassy from Tel Aviv, Israel, to Jerusalem, which is the rightful capital, according to the Bible, of Israel. But they were all afraid to do it. They were afraid to do it because of the persecution they would face if they did it. And Donald Trump said, I'll do it. You know, he was kind of that guy that he was as wild as his hair, you know. Didn't really care. He's just going to do it. So he did. He kept his word, and he moved the U.S. Embassy to Jerusalem. I guarantee you when he did that, God's clock went. Big step forward, because that had to be part of what has to be fulfilled for God's plan to continue to unfold for Israel and for the church. I guarantee you when that come along, when that pandemic come along, it caused the clock to tick also. And there was a response. It was an opportunity. It was like this morning early when it was way dark, my first alarm went off. Did you notice I said first alarm? How many of you can sympathize with me? That when it's dark outside, I need more than one sometimes. The first one will always get me awake, but it may not get me out of bed. You know, I'm going to lay there. Here's what I do. As soon as I realize I'm me again, that I'm still here and I'm conscious, I start talking to the Lord. You know, before I'm ever going to even attempt to roll over and touch that floor, I'm going to talk to the Lord, and I'm going to acknowledge him. And then I'll lay there for a little bit, and maybe I'll be talking to him, and that other alarm will go off. Well, there's alarms in the spirit realm that have been going off, saying to the world, especially to the church. When I say church, I'm not talking about the Assembly of God church, the Baptist church, or this church, or that church. I'm talking about those who are born-again believers in Jesus Christ, amen, with their faith in Jesus Christ, knowing that he is the way, the truth, and the life. That's, I'm talking about born again. You say, well, I don't know what that means. You're not born again. You need to get to be born again, because Jesus told a very religious man one night in John chapter 3 that unless you're born again, you won't see the kingdom of heaven. And that guy goes, I don't get it. I can't enter my mother's womb. Jesus goes, I'm not talking about that birth. I'm talking about the birth of the Spirit. The wind blows where it will and goes where it wants, and you don't know. And he goes, so it is with the Spirit. That that's born of flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. In other words, your mama, your daddy, God's beautiful creation gave you the biology, the body, the physical, but the Holy Spirit's going to cause you to have a spiritual new birth. Amen. So I believe what Jesus was really trying to teach us here in this fifth chapter of Matthew's gospel is that we can't let fear, especially the fear of persecution, we cannot let that shut us up. And there's more than one way to be noisy. I can be noisy with my physical voice. Agreed? I can be noisy with my physical voice. And I do need to do that. You realize that we were given a voice for the purpose of communication and worship. So I need to communicate. Who do I need to communicate with? Well, how about this? Where do you live? So I live in Oklahoma. Well, where else do you live? I live in this town. Where else do you live? I live in this house. Exactly. Start with communication at home. If you're a parent, start by talking to your kids about the issues of the day. You know, there's a great outcry in our society today that public school system has been corrupted to the point where they no longer really educate our kids, but they try to indoctrinate kids. And that is true in a lot of places. It really is. And if you think it's only true in those really liberal places, you're wrong. It's happening right here in good old Bible Belt, Oklahoma. There are people who have been hired in positions of teachers who do not have the agenda of education. They have a different agenda. Now, they're not the majority around here, thanks be to Jesus, but that doesn't mean that there aren't some. You say, well, what can I do about that? Well, there are a lot of things you can do about that, actually, but I want to tell you what I believe is the most important thing. If I don't feel like I have any other choice for my kids to go to public school, I need to prepare them to go to public school. If I feel like I have a choice, maybe I should search out that choice. Be prayerful about that. But here's the thing. If they're going to go there, you realize this, they're going to hear things that oppose the Word of God. They're going to hear things that directly oppose the Word of God. So what we have to do as parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles, whatever else, we've got to get them ready to face that by knowing what they believe and why they believe it. Like this. In the beginning, Genesis says, God created them. Does anybody know what it says? God created them male and female. And he didn't say and. We got people so confused in our world today that they actually came up with this term trans species, because some people want to identify as a dog or a cat. Now, that's laughable unless you actually believe that that person really believes that. And then our hearts ought to go out in compassion saying, oh, my goodness, what kind of demonic deception could take a human being created in the image of God and reduce their self-esteem to the point that they think they are an animal? Don't ridicule people who are suffering with these conditions. Don't ever ridicule them. Feel sympathy for them. Pray for them, love them, and love them enough, get ready, love them enough to be salt in their life.
We hope you're being blessed and encouraged as Pastor Dwight shares this inspiring teaching from God's Word today, and would like to take a moment to thank you for listening and invite you to reach out to us here at The Truth Broadcast. You can contact us by email at thetruthbroadcast@yahoo.com, find us on Facebook, or by calling or texting us at 580-665-9866. Now let's join Pastor Dwight for the rest of today's message.
love them enough to be salt in their life. Salt is an agent of healing. Amen. If you've got an open wound, and I come and I say, the only antiseptic I have today is salt. How many of you know that if I put that in your wound, it's going to help it heal? What else is going to happen? It's going to sting. It's not always pleasant. Listen to me, it's not always pleasant to hear what you need to hear. It's not always pleasant to say what you need to say. But don't say you love people if they're headed off a million-foot cliff and you don't care enough about them to tell them about the million-foot cliff. Loving people is not blind acceptance of everything and activity that they want to come up with. That's not love. Love is, I love you, and that's not going to stop. But this thing that you believe to be right, it is not right. It is not right based on what He who created every one of us says. We've got to get the Bible in our hearts so that we know what the Bible says, so we're not led astray. But that issue about like gender confusion, it's so crazy because it's plain. God created them in the beginning, male and female, that's all. And He said, and the man shall leave his father and mother, not his two dads or his two moms. He shall leave his father and mother, and he shall cling to his wife, not girlfriend. He shall cling to his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. Out of that union of God, there are produced children that are holy in the sight of God. That's how it's supposed to be. How many of you agree with me? That's not always how it is. Not in your family, not in my family, not anywhere. Because the enemy has had a plan for thousands of years to come against God's way of doing things. And we need healing. We need healing. Come on, we need healing. We need a change in our mindset. I am not condemning anyone. Do y'all get that? I am not condemning anyone. If you ever condemn anyone, shame on you. Judge not, lest you be judged. That's what that actually means. If you condemn, you're going to be condemned. But if you don't evaluate, you'll never be able to help. I can't help my brother if I don't evaluate his actions. I can't help my sister if I don't ever tell my sister that, well, God said this. Remember where we started today? He said, listen, you're the salt. But don't lose your saltiness. Well, what was the context? You're blessed when you're persecuted. You're blessed when they speak evil. See, don't worry about what their response is going to be. You just be responding by being the person God created you to be. And I'm going to tell you this. If you don't love people, then you don't know God. Got real quiet around here. How many would agree with that? If you don't love people, you don't know God. I said, well, why are you saying that, Pastor? Because the Bible says that. It says, how can I say that I love God who I can't see if I don't love my brother who I can see? But loving my brother or my sister does not mean that I go along with everything that they say or they think or they believe, right? Because if they're wrong and I'm not willing to love them enough to say something, then I'm not really loving them. I need to love them when they're wrong and keep loving them if they choose to stay wrong. But I'm not loving them by agreeing with their wrongness. Do you understand? We affirm people always. But we do not affirm what God says is wrong. It's unnatural. The Bible calls it unnatural. You're never going to ever get me convinced that God doesn't have an opinion about these things because the Bible's clear. And the Bible's clear about God's truth about unborn people. I remember when I didn't really believe that babies were babies until I could see them. I didn't really think much about it. And you know what? There have been people throughout history that have stood. I mean, you probably heard of like Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who was a German pastor who stood against the Nazis. He was one of the few. His voice wasn't very loud in that culture because it was drowned out by all the silence. So it made him look like he was a right-wing radical. You ever heard that term? It made him look like he was a domestic terrorist. You ever heard that term? Why? Because he was speaking the truth. He said, these Nazis, they're filled with hate. They hate the Jews that are God's people. You can't go along with that and say that God is with us as we just allow that to happen. We don't say nothing. There were so many people afraid to speak up that it became so pricey for those who did speak up that it made even more people want to be quiet. It's called the spiral of silence. If every one of us who believe the Bible go out and we express our biblical views in love, don't ever think that guy standing on the street corner with the megaphone telling people God hates them because they're this or that or other, don't ever, ever mistake for a second that God's the one that sent him there to do that, because God ain't got nothing to do with that. There's no love in it. Now, if they were preaching the gospel, saying your actions are wrong, and if you don't repent and you don't change your mind, there's coming a time where you're going to be judged for those actions, but God doesn't want to judge you. God wants to save you. God wants to help you. God wants to heal you. God loves you. Even now, God loves you, and he certainly will continue to love you, but he doesn't want you to fall into judgment. God loves you. Repent and turn to God. That's the gospel. But to say to someone, God condemns you, God hates you, that's not the gospel, and it never will be. It's not the truth. The truth is God is love, and God loves people. He loves us so much he gave us his word. And in his word he outlined what's right and what's good, what's natural, what should be normal to us. Amen. And we need to be salty enough that we don't let the fear of persecution or what someone would think stop us from speaking up. So how can you speak up? See, I'm not a pastor. I don't have a pulpit. Your life is a pulpit. You have co-workers. Discussions happen around the water cooler. Don't keep your mouth shut. You know, there are college students, high school students, junior high students, grade school students. Speak up. Parents, speak up. If your child's in public school and you hear something's going on that ain't right, go over to that school board meeting and in a spirit of love, come to express your concern. Don't come to get people fired and blame people. You will catch a whole lot more with sugar than you catch with vinegar. Amen. In verse 10 and 12 of that passage that we were looking at, before Jesus said, you're the salt and you're the light, and, you know, and don't lose your saltiness and don't hide your light. Look at verse 10, 11, 12 again real quickly. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness. That means you're being persecuted because of your right relationship with God. You're not being persecuted because of anything. He didn't say blessed are those who are persecuted. He said, blessed are those who are persecuted because of their rightness with God. And they refuse to compromise on that. Okay? Because theirs is the kingdom of God. Kingdom means king's dominion, and it means, simply put, God's way of doing things. When you read kingdom, God's kingdom, his way of doing things. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of their right relationship with God, for theirs is God's way of doing things. Kingdom of God. Next verse. Blessed are you when people insult you. You ever been insulted for taking a stand for Jesus? If you have, don't worry about it. Don't blame the person who's insulting you either. If someone insults you or persecutes you, don't ever, ever, ever allow the devil to draw you into some sort of a bickering back and forth insult contest. That's not how God's people should respond. We should respond with prayer. Jesus said, pray for those that persecute you and despitefully use you. What he told us. Don't insult back. Pray for them. And realize this, that if they were not being inspired by spiritual forces that hate God and hate you because you love God, they wouldn't insult you for your stand. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, falsely. Did you get that? Falsely say all kinds of evil? Falsely. Now, if we're doing stuff and it's evil and people find out and they expose that, he didn't say, blessed are you when people call you what you really are. He said, blessed are you when they falsely accuse you. What's going to provoke them to falsely accuse you? You being salt and light. That's what. You being right with God. If you call things what God calls them and speak the way God speaks about things, and you said, this is not my opinion on same-sex marriage. This is not my opinion on abortion. This is not my opinion on this, that, the other. This is just what God says. It happens to be my opinion because I'm going to agree with God, but it's not my opinion. I didn't originate this. This is God, and I just happen to agree with him. And I'm just salty enough that I'm going to say what God says, but I'm going to always try to make sure I'm saying it in love. I'm not saying it to condemn someone. I'm saying it in an effort and a hope that maybe, even if I tick them off for a little bit, maybe in their being ticked off at me, they'll stop and think about it for a second. And maybe, because I was willing to say something, they'll entertain the thought of, maybe that guy's right, even though he's, I don't like him. Maybe he's right. Maybe I ought to look into that for myself. You know, If you went around and you say, I'm a cat, and everybody around you, because they love you so much, they don't want to upset you, they like buy you kitty litter and catnip, are they helping you? No, I'll tell you what they're doing. You ready for this? This is strong as a garlic milkshake. They're reinforcing your mental illness. If you believe you're a cat, that's mental illness. It doesn't make you a bad person, but it does make you in need of help. If you think you're a cat, you've been deceived so bad by something that you're missing out on your real purpose and meaning. If you come to me and you go, I'm a cat, and you were serious, I ain't going along with it. I'm going to tell you, no, you're not a cat. This is a cat. This is you. You see any similarities? No. You know, you were born from a human that was born from a mama cat. Come on. Follow the science. Where's your tail? You don't have one. I mean, it's just real simple. Listen, roosters don't lay eggs. The whole world knows that. But now we live in a world where it says man can become pregnant. No, they cannot. Man cannot become pregnant under any circumstances. A person who calls himself a man, who's actually not a man, could become pregnant. But that doesn't make him a man. And I don't say that to condemn anyone. I'm not trying to condemn anyone. You get me? How are they ever going to realize they're wrong? Why is it wrong? Because God said so. Not because I said so. Because God said so. And if everybody just caters to what's wrong, how are they ever going to turn to what's right? They're not. They're going to go right off the million-foot cliff. And when they hit the bottom of that million-foot cliff, and they're in torment eternally, they're going to wonder why you didn't love them enough to stand up in their face, if that's what it took, and say, you're wrong. I love you, but you're wrong. What did Jesus promise about the truth? You shall know the truth. Come on, help me. And the truth will set you free. Some of you know we just heard a pretty heavy dose of the truth. Truth is, it all really starts and ends with individuals. I can look at you and I can determine right away you are definitely an individual. And if you will just be who God created you to be, because God created you to be born again. He loves you. He formed you in the womb of your mother. Amen? He formed me in the womb of my mother with a plan and a purpose. And the number one thing was for I know him personally through Jesus. Maybe you listen to me today, you say, I want to be the person God wants me to be, but I don't know if I can do it. He can do it in you. Have you given your life to Jesus Christ? That's the big question. Have you given him lordship of your life? That means if he says go, I say yes, sir. If he says come, I say yes, sir. If you need God's help today in being the person that he wants you to be, I'll tell you how you're going to get it. One way, yielding yourself completely to the lordship of Jesus. So if you say, I need God's help, but you at the same time say, I'm being honest, not completely yielded to Jesus. I mean, I believe in Jesus. That's a good start. Good start. It's not enough. Do you need to yield to Jesus today? Give him everything. So you say, that's me. I do need to yield to Jesus today. I've heard so much truth today. It set me free, and I'm ready to respond to that freedom by accepting Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Will you pray with me? Say, Heavenly Father, I come to you now in the name of Jesus, who loves me, who gave himself for me. Lord Jesus, I confess you as my Lord. I believe in my heart that you did die for my sin. You were raised from the dead, and you sent your Holy Spirit. And I receive your Holy Spirit, your grace to be the person that you created me to be. Forgive me of any sin that remains in my life. Show me what it is so that I can turn from it. I want to be free. I want to be the person that you made me to be. I know you love me. You don't condemn me. You are my ever-present help. Help me now. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in to the Truth Broadcast with Pastor Dwight Shepherd. If you prayed with Pastor Dwight, let us know. We would love to hear about God working in your life as we continue to pray for you. So send your prayer requests, praise reports, or financial support to The Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 142, Burns Flat, Oklahoma, 73624. You can connect with us by email at truthbroadcast@yahoo.com. So, until next time, continue in the Word and let the truth of God's Word set you free.